I believe we all saw in every point in this vision is so applicable, so practical. The Word of God, it's not just for our understanding, for us to enjoy, but every word that the Lord speaks has a very practical meaning for us. It has an effect, and it has to have an effect in our lives. I thank the Lord for the testimonies, for the testimony and for the testimonies that this word and this vision touches our heart. If it is not practical, then we can all go home. Then we don't need a conference. But the Word of God is living. It's effective. Powerful. And it's sharper than and it has to be sharper than the two-edged sword. And it has to pierce through our heart. I trust that the word and the vision in Ezekiel would work in all of us. No matter which direction we go back, to Asia, to Africa, to the U.S., and here in Europe, we would go on with this glory. Amen. It's so wonderful. Every point, just as our brother shared, the eyes, the many eyes, but the eyes are not concentrated on the enemy. But we want to firstly see our wonderful Lord. The book of Hebrews says, look away to Jesus. We need light. We need revelation. We must have the desire that all that God has prepared for us today, that we would know it and also see it. Paul prayed that he would enlighten the eyes of your heart, that we may fully know the triune God. Or would you not like to know him? That to know the church fully, the plan of God, the riches in the saints, to see this. What do you see in the saints? What do we see in the saints? Some people only see negative things. Oh, this is not good, and that brother, that's not good, and she is not good. They only see the problems, that everything's not good. We do not need such eyes in the church. We need enlightened eyes in order to see the riches in the saints. Isn't this better? What would you rather see? When you come to visit me, what would you rather see? The trash can? My waste paper basket? Would you rather see that? No? I'll invite you to my house and you look into my waste paper basket and my trash can. You throw away in these plastic trash cans? No. We must have eyes. Eyes that are enlightened to see the riches of his inheritance in all the saints. I'd like to see this in you. We have to learn to see this. And then to see that this surpassing greatness of his power, we have to see that. And above all, we have to see this wonderful Christ who is seated on the throne today. Isn't that good? We have so, so much to see. And when we come to the Word, do you know when I come to this book, I want to see Christ. I don't care about the 666th number. That is not interesting for me. Oh, the dragon. Oh, the beast. I don't want to see him. But I want to see the wonderful Christ. In all these years in the house of the Lord, what have you heard? What have you seen? And what have we seen in the Psalms, brother? The riches of Christ. He still remembers. That's wonderful. What do you want to see in the Psalms? When we do not see the unsearchable riches of Christ in the Psalms, then you've missed it all. Isn't that the case? We need to have such eyes in the church. This is very important. I want to see the Lord. I want to see Christ. I want to see His riches and you all. Of course, when you have learned to see Christ, and you realize, and you see the triune God, and you see so much riches, when you possess such eyes, I am sure that you will also see everything else, what the enemy is doing. You would also recognize your own flesh and see how terrible that is. And the Lord will show you that. Otherwise, in the end, you will see nothing at all. Praise the Lord. We need to have such eyes in the church. The clearer, the better. Amen. Tell the Lord, Lord, give me heavenly glasses so that I may see you even more clearly. Isn't that good? Yes. Amen. Before the Lord comes back, I want to see everything there is to see concerning Him in the Bible. Of course, that would not be possible. And surely, when He comes back, we'll see even more. We could never see everything because we need eternity for that. Isn't that wonderful? Our God is so great and so glorious. The church must be an exhibition of Christ. An exhibition of Christ's glory. And when we see Christ and grasp Him, then I will have no concern that you're not spiritual. Because when we see Him and we grasp Him, then you would also see many other things which the Lord will show you. You see, in the book of Ezekiel, the Lord brought Ezekiel back. And showed him all the nonsensical things that the people did. The hidden things. He showed him a hole in the wall. He said, see what these people are doing. What the priests are doing. What the princes, what the elders were doing, what the entire people were doing. Right? So the Lord would show us. It is not possible that we would have such a fellowship with the Lord, and yet we do not see all the other things. Praise the Lord. But I am sure with time, give us a couple more years, two or three years later, if the Lord still does not come back, after 5 years, we will all have enlightened eyes. Amen. It will be shining. And you will see much. You'll see everything. It's so wonderful. Praise the Lord. And here we see in Ezekiel, just as we've seen this morning, there's a firmament. Amen. In the church life, our eyes should not just go in, spread out in the breadth, but it should also, our eyes should also be looking upwards. In the beginning of the church, you may just be seeing things horizontally. Your view is just in this horizontal dimension. But as we experience the Lord more and more, your view, your vision would be expanded. Just like Ezekiel. As he saw this and that, the four living creatures, the wheels, then he looked and there was something more. There was something further. There was a firmament, the heavenly realm. If we do not see that, it is not sufficient. And beyond the firmament, we need to see this evening is that that's the throne above the firmament. Verse 26 of Ezekiel, chapter 1. And above the firmament that was over their heads was, you know, the heads are already very high because they were way up there. Your feet are down below, but the heads are way up there. But you know, above your heads, there's something even higher than your heads. You should not think that your head is the highest point. Toby, your head is pretty high, very high. But above your high head, there's still something higher than that. We people should not think that we're so high. This pride. We think we're something. What does the Word of God say? Pride comes before the fall. If you think that you're so high, the Lord would bring you down even lower than your feet. No, no. We should not have that. We should not have pride. And then we see that above these four heads, why is it mentioned? Because there's something even higher. None of us in the church is so high. Right? King Saul, what was his characteristic? He was one head bigger. Do you think that is already so big? One head bigger. Do you have one head bigger? I believe that these four living creatures all have the same height or not. That has to be the case. Have you seen a car with four different sizes of wheels. In the back, they have the wheels of a tractor. And in the front, the wheels are so small. One is bigger than the other. And in the back, there is another different wheel. There's like the wheel of a bicycle. Would you be driving such a car? Even different brands. You should not be using different brands of tires for your cars. Isn't that the case? They need to have the same profile, the same tread. Not just in size, but they should have the same profile so that it would really drive well. Or isn't that the case? Or would you like to have on the left side you have a winter tire and then on the right side you have a summer tire? No one does this. But why do you do this in the church? Do you think that you are wiser, smarter than God? That cannot be in the house of the Lord. After all these 40 years in Europe, I hope that we brothers, especially the older ones, the leading ones, we should have learned something already. We should have learned something already. Right? We have illustrated it once before. With the four brothers who carried the ark. Come, let's demonstrate it again. If the Toby would be carrying it in the front, the little Ricardo would be carrying it on this side, and then another one, and each one is of a different height. What should we do? He cannot carry it like that. And are you willing to come down? What is easier, for him to stretch higher or for you to come down a little? Would you be willing? Would you be willing? But no one is willing to lower himself. I even saw it among the children. Why do I have to do this and why this and why that? They're so young and so rebellious already. My goodness. My hair already standing up. If we do not learn now in the church, we're in the house of the Lord. That cannot be the case, no. Dear brothers and sisters, we have much to learn in the house of the Lord. And I do thank the Lord that there are many brothers, there are many older brothers and sisters have learned this. I have to say that I do thank the Lord. But one can never learn it all. Do not think that, oh, I have learned it. Oh, I already learned the lesson. But occasionally, your neck gets longer and your head is higher again. No, no. We really have to learn it constantly. In other words, constantly to give ourselves to death, to put ourselves into death, just like how the Lord did. Just like what Paul said, we who are alive, we constantly put ourselves to death so that life would work. So we do see these four living creatures. I am sure God would not have one cherub who is 2 meters tall, another cherub 1 meter 50, the other meter 1 meter 80, and then the last cherub is just 1 meter high. I do not believe that. I do not believe that. But it is written that they're all the same. They're the same. Even their appearance, their image is the same. Is the church in Stuttgart and the church in Pforzheim the same? Oh. Then the brothers say, no, we are better. We have more experience. Oh, we do this. Oh, we have something that you don't have. Do not boast of it. Is that your boast? Do you think that these four cherubs, one would boast that, oh, I'm much stronger than the other three? No. No, no. Oh, it's very nice when all the churches are all like Christ. We all have the same image, the likeness. We all have the same likeness of the Son of Man, the likeness of the new man. Praise the Lord. And above the firmament and that was over their heads. Praise the Lord. It was the likeness of a throne. Praise the Lord. The likeness of a throne. I really like this. We all have to see this throne. Do not think that we do not have a throne in the church. We have a throne, but not a man-made throne like the Vatican. It's a wonderful throne here, in appearance like a sapphire stone. That's a special throne made by God. It's the throne of the Lord. Who is seated on the throne today? What do you think? When you think of the throne, Clemens, what is a throne? Is it like a rocking chair? There are many seats. Many chairs. Many different chairs. There's a massage chair. There's dining chairs, or in the meetings there are chairs. But what is a throne? It's a special chair, right? What do you think regarding the throne? The king, and what does the king do? Correct. He rules and he reigns. In the church in Berlin, is there a throne? Oh, we don't want to be ruled over. Why? We are free. We're here. We're in Germany. There's democracy here. Why should someone rule over me? Rule? Reign? This and that, I don't like this and I don't like that. If you don't like it, go home. There's no throne at your house, but let me tell you, there's a throne in the church. Praise the Lord. A wonderful throne. A glorious throne. And who is sitting on the throne? Hans Günther? And Robert, the two of them are sitting together on the throne. who is sitting there on the throne. We all need to see that in every church, whether it's in Berlin, in Hamburg, in Stuttgart, in Zurich, in Pforzheim, Karlsruhe, Basel, no matter where it is, there must be, there, above the firmament, there must be a throne. Do not think that there's no authority in the church. If there's no authority, then it would be chaotic. It would be tohu bohu. Can you imagine that there's no government here in Germany? Would you like to do that? Or that there's a head of the mafia sitting in the government? That would be terrible. The wrong person should not be sitting on the throne. Fortunately, this throne is so high that nobody can reach it. And you think that you're coming up there, then your head would hit the firmament. It's harder than your forehead, and you have a big headache. You have a big bump, and you even break your coconut. That's right. Do you think that this firmament and this throne is there? It's just for you to look at? No, no. How can you have glory without this throne? Do you think that if you take away this throne, you would see the glory? No way. No way. And no one is qualified to sit on this throne. How do you know that? Toby? Where is it written that no one is qualified? So you're right, tell us. Revelation chapter 5. Amen. What does Revelation 5 say? What in chapter 4 and 5, what does the one that was seated on the throne have?
Ezekiel.
He had a little scroll in his hand with the seven seals. And who was the one who was qualified to receive the scroll and to open up the seven seals? You?
Martin Luther?
The Lamb. The one and only that was qualified was the Lamb, the Lion of Judah, the Lamb with seven eyes. And seven eyes, which are the spirits of God sent into all the earth. Oh, brothers and sisters, I have seen people who have tried to sit on this throne, and in the end, it's tohu bohu. The picture is gone. The picture on the board is gone. It's always like this. We see it, and then it's gone. Above this firmament is this throne. And who is qualified to sit on there? Who dares to say that I am his representative? He is not there, so I'm sitting here on the throne and you all have to listen to me. When I say go right and all the churches have to go right, and then if I say left, then all the four living creatures have to go left. That is not good. Brothers and sisters, the throne in every church, only the Lord can be seated on the throne in every church. Not you and not I. Yes, we have authority in the church, but the authority is not a human authority. Then you may say, oh, then I'm not going to listen to anyone. That doesn't work either. No, we all need to learn to listen to the Lord. Just like how the Lord said, what the Lord said, the head of every woman is the man. Is that all? And there's nothing higher than the man? In your family, who is the head? Hard to say. If you, as the man says, I am the head, then I would ask further, then who is your head? You know what I want to say. It is so wonderful when all these four living creatures all have one head above them, and that's the throne of God. That's the throne of the Lord that appears in appearance. It's like a sapphire stone. It's blue. It's a heavenly blue. It's a heavenly throne, and no one is qualified to sit on there except this ascended Christ. Do not try. Don't even try to think of sitting on there. Say, oh, I try to sit on there. How does it feel to sit on the throne? Please, don't you ever try to... No. No one can go there and sit on the throne. It's a heavenly throne. And seated above the likeness of the throne was a likeness with the appearance of a man. Praise the Lord. It's not like a monster. Again, it's a man. We cannot underestimate this point, the humanity of Jesus. You know, brothers and sisters, we have such a wonderful food for us to eat. Namely, it's the meal offering, the fine flour without leaven, mingled with oil. Right? And it's being offered with incense. And it's salted. That's so wonderful. The perfect humanity of the Lord. We should not underestimate this in the church. If we in the church, whether it be in the family or in the services in the church, if our humanity is not renewed and we have not yet learned to enjoy the humanity of the Lord, then you would always have problems. There will always be problems. The humanity of the Lord is very, very important. Of course, our humanity is fallen, is full of sin and flesh. That's why there is the cross. I have been crucified with Christ. The Bible says, the old man, was crucified with Christ on the cross. Do you believe that? And we have a baptism. We had a baptism this morning. Those who were baptized into his death. Not only into water, but into his death. We must believe this. We also need to know this. If we are not, we're not baptized into his death, how could my flesh be dealt with? And every day I'll still be living my flesh and will be fighting every day at home. And you, if you live your humanity and I live mine, then there'll be a lot of trouble in the church. There won't be the four wheels, but something else would be in motion there. Oh, Lord. And that's why we need to see a vision. The appearance of a man. Even the one who is seated on the throne. It's the appearance of a man. Isn't that wonderful? But it's not the fallen man who's seated there. Also, from the appearance of his loins and upward, what do we see? We see electrum. Isn't that wonderful? There's gold and silver, and it's shining with fire. Why is there fire? Because in this glory in the church, we still need fire. We still need the fire. The Lord still has to burn away everything that does not belong to him. And then we all have to confess before the Lord that there's still much more in me that needs to be burned away. Or is that not the case? Oh, yes. When we behold his glory, when we see the appearance of the one who is seated on the throne, when we see him, then wouldn't we be like Isaiah? Then the fire has to come to cleanse us and to sanctify us. That is necessary in the church today. Do not say, oh, I don't like the fire. Of course, that's your choice. But if you don't want to have any fire, and you always do whatever you please, then you would be flying out by yourself. You also have wings, and you just flew out. So praise the Lord for such a glory. Do remember that this glory is a glory for the building. And at that time, it was with Israel. And Israel had so many problems, so the fire still had to come. That means to say that God still has to judge. And that's why Ezekiel is a book of judgment. Because we need it. And how is it with the book of Revelation? The seven churches in Asia, they don't need anything else? Are they so glorious? Are they so perfect without problems? You all know the story. Surely you have read Revelation chapters 2 and 3 many times, right? Have you not read it? What did they need? If they do not hear, fire would come. Fire would come. The Lord rebuked them. But you do not like any kind of admonishment. Oh, life will do it. Life will make it. Just wait. No. No, no. Faith comes from hearing. And hearing comes from admonishment. Because no one says anything, then nothing would happen either. But we have to say and speak with the Spirit. Right? This throne is so wonderful. We admonish and we speak in order that they be healed and be helped. Not so because we are so strict. You're not allowed to do this. That's painful to my eyes when I see this. Ugh. The lion in me will rise up. That's not the way. In the end, you will devour the saints. At least you might bite their heads off. That's not the way. But you see the seven churches with the seven churches. The Lord is the kingly priest. He had to say something. Do you think he had nice words to say to the seven churches? To the church in Ephesus. Oh, I love you. Oh, you're so wonderful. And I hope that you would also love me so much. What did the Lord say? I've something against you. Do you think that those are nice, sweet words? I have something against you. Do you like to hear that? Or can you say that? Are you able to say that in the church? The Lord has something against you. That is not right. Turn. Repent. To repent, that's a wonderful word in Revelations 2 and 3. Or may we not say, you young people, repent. If someone tells you, repent, what would you do? You say, why? Mind your own business. Is that your reaction? But unfortunately, this rebellious people, just like the rebellious churches, they did not listen. They did not want to hear. And if they don't want to hear, do you think they could make it? The fact was, they did not make it. And today, here in the church, praise the Lord, we would like to learn obedience. Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Oh, I'd like to see all the young people learning obedience. But not just the young people, but we all, also the old ones. I'm still learning today to obey. Not just to obey the Lord, but I'd like to obey the brothers. It's good. Why not? Do you think that if I have not learned to obey the to listen to the brothers, do you think I would obey the Lord? In the Epistle of John, John said, if you cannot love the brothers whom you see, how then can you see God? How then can you love God whom you cannot see? So I can also apply that. when you see the brothers daily, day by day, and you don't want to listen to them, how then can you listen and obey God whom you cannot see? That's how it is. Learn. God's people is a rebellious people. It's written. And don't think that only the Jews are rebellious and we are not. If we're all not rebellious, then we all would be one today. Why cannot we be one? And then you can tell the people, even those in the Bible school, that there's a dividing of the soul and spirit. They would even tell you, that's a heresy. That cannot be, but that's how it is written in the Word. So what should we do? The book of Hebrews shows us that there's judgment. Judgment, firstly, in the house of God. It begins in the house of God, and thereafter among the nations. God would not firstly judge the nations, but He would firstly judge us in His house. And if you don't want to be judged by Him, then you don't need to be here. That's how it is. Also from the appearance of His loins and upward, I saw the look of electrum. That's so wonderful. On one hand, it's so glorious and so attractive. Praise the Lord. Is it not good? We need to see that. Yes, but you should not just see that. You also need to see the appearance of fire. There's fire. All around within it. I cannot help it. I cannot just say, oh, I look of electrum, period. Ezekiel was very faithful in the report, in his report of what he saw. I like to see electrum, but I don't like to see fire. Do you like the fire? No. But do you need fire? Yes. Small children do not like to take a shower. Take a bath or a shower. They have problems with the children, but do they need that? Yes. Whether you like it or not, you'll be brought to the shower and you go, psh. Whether you like it or not. Fortunately, the parents do it. Right? Do you think that the Lord wants to judge us? No. If you are not willing to be judged today, then Paul said that when He comes, He will judge you as through fire, as by fire. So sooner or later we have to go through the fire, then it's better that we do it today in the age of grace. Today it's with grace. Oh, it makes us healthy. It makes us healthy today. And from the appearance of His loins and downward, you only see fire, the appearance of fire. And it's brightly shining. Shining brightly. In order to understand this, we have to read Revelation 1 or Daniel chapter 10. you see that it's a burnishing brass, bronze. It's gleaming like in an oven. How holy is the Lord? Sometimes we have no idea how holy He is. We have no idea. Because we have no idea how unholy we are. And so we see such a one who is seated on the throne. And if the brothers and the churches do not see such a throne, then you do all kinds of things. We have also seen that. Many impossible things happened, and they have no feeling for that, and they think that they are right. That doesn't work. That goes to show, at least it shows me, that the throne is not there. The throne is just not there. And if the throne were there, someone else tried to sit on there. Actually, he's not sitting there, but he made his own throne out of wood or of iron. I don't know what. I don't know what kind of a throne that was. But definitely, it's not this throne above the firmament. And it's not in appearance like a sapphire. I heard from some elderly brothers, yes, but the Lord is still speaking. My goodness. What kind of baloney is that? He's talking about what kind of cheese. That's a German expression. So what kind of cheese smells the worst? Is it the Italian, French, or which kind of cheese smells the worst? No, no. We all need to have a vision. We all need a clear and realistic vision. Learn. Dear brothers and sisters, learn. I'm not just saying something here. But the Lord, through all that we have experienced here in the churches, He has shown us something. It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. And in verse 28, it says, like the appearance of a bow in a cloud on a day of rain. A bow in a cloud on a day of rain, like a rainbow. That's something good. That shows us that although the one who is on the throne, the one who is seated there is the holy and righteous God, and He has to judge. He has no choice. And also for our sake. But His judgment is not there to destroy us, to get rid of us. No, this bow here, you know the story of Noah. It was a covenant that God not only made with Noah, but with the entire creation. That was a covenant with the entire creation. Read that again. Read it clear. God had spoken and God had made a covenant that He will never destroy creation again. Isn't that wonderful? And for us, it means that this judgment is there. Is that to throw you away? No, no. God loves the church. When you have to rebuke your children, are you going to kill your children? Which reasonable and proper parents would be disciplining their children, and in doing so, they kill the children? Would you do that? They did something wrong. I would just kill you. Kill you. No? And then you come to the other extreme. Oh, no, 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 no. It's okay. It doesn't matter. Just go on. Just play on. If you do that, if you do that to a child, that's the same as if you would kill the child. Or isn't that not the case? So both extremes are not good. One kills a child and the other one does not discipline the child at all. Not at all. That's modern today. Isn't that so? It's modern. You cannot even spank the child. A little spanking on the buttocks doesn't hurt. Does no damage because the buttocks are well padded. But you're not even allowed to do that. It doesn't cause damage. It's a gain for the child so that the child will have some fear. The fear of God is good. We people are always extreme. We need the judgment, but you also need to see this rainbow. Isn't that good? That is so wonderful. I believe if we see a rainbow, especially after the rain, then you see the sun shining through. Everyone likes to see it, especially when it's so clear and so visible. How many colors are there? 6 or 7 colors. But when you see a rainbow, it looks so beautiful. Don't you like to see a rainbow? That's nice. Each time when you're judged by the Lord, you have to see, oh, the rainbow is there. Then you will have no fear. But if you only see fire. But when you also see the rainbow, then you will be thankful to the Lord. You say, thank you, Lord. Your judgment is my salvation. Your chastening is that so that I will have partake of the fruit of righteousness, so that I can partake of your holiness. Isn't that good? Why don't we want that? No? It's not good? It's good. God's way is always the best way. We all need to have such a throne in every church. A throne without a rainbow would be terrible. But just to have a rainbow without the throne, it doesn't work. Have you seen the vision? His glory, brother? Amen. Praise the Lord. It's 9 o'clock. We'll finish for this evening. Praise the Lord. We have such a throne in the church. It's something glorious. I believe all of us who have gotten some gray hairs, we understand today what it means, right? Praise the Lord. The Lord be with our spirit. The Lord be with our spirit. Let us consider this vision of glory, but please, no strange thoughts within this framework. No strange ideas. Praise the Lord. We'll sing the song.